الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة قلوب يومئذ واجفة أبصارها خاشعة يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة أئذا كنا عظاما نخرة قالوا تلك إذا كرة خاسرة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالساهرة هل أتاك حديث موسى. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. In continuing with what we have started a few weeks ago, we are talking about a very critical time, a time period that very few of us care to reflect upon. And it is a moment as it relates to Qiyamah, in this particular beginning, as it relates to the final moments of a human, final moments of our existence. And we don't have time to think about our final moments simply because we are so caught up in the various things that we are part of. We have to pay rent, we have to pay mortgage, we have to pay our student bill, we have to settle our children down. All these things distract us as it relates to our final moment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Quran, through the ahadith, through the sunnah, through his lifestyle, through the lifestyle choice of the various prophets, if we examine them, even though they were living in this world, they never let the focus of the hereafter move away from them. That is why in our salah we continually recite Maliki Yawmiddin. Why do you say Master of the Day of Judgment? It is to create this reflection in the human that you are not a master. Those around you, they are not true masters. The master of master is Allah. And that master of master is going to hold you and I accountable for every of our action. And in reflecting upon the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرَقَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a very critical time. And he says here, by those entities that basically come out diving, referring to the moment of death. Now, if you know basic Arabic, you see a very great difference on how Allah addresses a believer versus a person that chooses not to believe. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا. If you look at the English, it is as if you are saying the same thing. But when you reflect upon the Arabic, when you say وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا, Allah is talking about something that will come out in a manner of that which is dragged. Allah is talking about something that will come out in a manner that is dragged. If you ever had a tractor, and behind the tractors, in the back in the good old days, or the horse and cart days, when you have a horse, there are certain forks they put behind the horse. And as the horse moves forward with the ropes or whatever they have, it pulls that metal thing in the back. And because it drags through the pulling action, you continually see holes
or the ground being tilted. Nowadays they have a fancy way of doing it with the rotor tiller and all that. It looks much more easier. But anyone knows, or for example, if you're dragging something with your car, it is not that fun. And Allah is saying, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. Regarding the one that chooses to not believe in Allah, the one that chooses to be neglectful of Allah, the one that chooses to live a life like a heathen or being neglectful, Allah says, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. They must understand that their soul will be coming out in a manner that is being ripped from within themselves. One nashitati nashta. Now Allah changes it. And He talks about here, and by those who unknot the opening. The one, now when you, for example, if you have a knot, you know sometimes if you have a nice sports coat or a nice blazer or a sweater and it knots itself, you don't just pull out the knot. You don't do that because you like what you are wearing. Sometimes the tablecloth, things are a little bit messed up, and you take pride, you take a needle and you try to pry or gently open it out. Allah is saying the same thing. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. When a good person, when their life comes to an end, a person that was obedient, a person that was nice, a person that was good to their parents, one that was had integrity, one that didn't cheat, one that didn't lie, one that didn't steal, one that didn't make rude jokes, that means they lived a life of modesty. Allah says, I'll do you a favor. I will send a beautiful angel down. And that angel will come. And that angel will start unknotting the soul in a respectable and loving manner. In a manner that you will appreciate and they will appreciate doing it, because it's an honor for them to unknot you. Now it's not that the other angel that rips it out is bad. No, angels do as they are told. There are no such thing as good angels and bad angels. Angels are angels and all are good. Whatever they are told to do, they do. Even the angel that is supposed to put a person in hell, for example, it's not a bad angel. This happens to be in a bad place. But it's a good angel and he's doing what Allah wants to do. So, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. That angel will open it up, open the soul, and create a dismantling or separation between the body and the soul in a gentle manner. And وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَى. Imagine, thereafter, as the thing is taken out, the soul, it starts moving like how a swimmer swims. Now, if you ever watch the Olympics and the swimming, it's amazing how they do it. You know, they jump in from one side, and before you know it, they're out on the other side. It's like they make it seem so simple, so easy. And yet, if you throw me in the water, trust me, you'll never hear a person screaming more than you'll hear me. I'm not a swimmer. And I'm sure that applies to many of us here. So if you try to copy that swimmer, it's not going to work. And the average person goes in the pool and God knows what they do. And they close their eyes and they think they're doing a lot. And after 35 seconds, 45 seconds, just when they thought they were on the other side, they realize they're still in the same spot. But regarding the soul, that's not the way it is. وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحًا. Gradually, it begins moving as it is unknotted. And it starts moving from one layer to the next. فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبَقًا. Not only does it go in a manner that how a beautiful swimmer swims, like how a fish in water, a dolphin in an aquarium, but فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبَقًا, it begins to outstrip, it begins to run now. I mean, look at Allah, how He's defining and describing death, and how He's defining the movement of the soul. And He says, it begins to فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبَقًا, it starts running like how the Olympic runner runs. He makes it seem easy.
Try running like that for 45 seconds.
Those of you that are above 50 and you tried it,
trust me, you may have a heart issue. You don't just do it.
They make it seem very simple.
And Allah says the same thing. A good person, a moral person,
an obedient individual, when his soul is taken out, or her soul is taken out, فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبَقَا, it begins racing, it begins going closer and closer to the angels, and closer to the various angels that it'll meet.
And every angel that it meets along the way, it says, welcome, welcome. You were a good person in the world. You were a moral person in the world. You were a genuine person in the world. You were honest. You were faithful.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
As it goes up to the point where it gets stamped as death. فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا,
Allah says, then by those who administrate this given event, who are the entities that administrate this?
Life and death.
It is undoubtedly Allah
and the angels.
فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا, they are only doing what they are called upon to do. You know, the Hollywood version of angels is very, very different.
You know, it's this beautiful creature that comes in and he has this nice, beautiful face with wings on the back.
Trust me, angels don't look like that. They've got no
time to fulfill Hollywood fantasies and Hollywood dreams.
They have a job. Allah is saying,
فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا,
they are carrying out a very, very monumental duty and obligation. And that duty is what? To ensure that what needs to be carried out is carried out.
Why is Allah saying this to you and I? Why does Allah talk about death in the Quran? There must be a reason.
Why do humans not like to talk about death?
That too, there is a reason.
We don't like to talk about death because الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ, Shaytan wants to dangle one thing between everyone.
What does he want to dangle?
That if you don't go and live the life,
you're going to get poor.
If you don't make rude political statements like some politicians,
you're not going to get enough support.
That's all it is. Why do people go and gamble? Yet we know statistically, if you gamble, you're going to lose more.
Allah addresses in the Quran,
الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ,
all these bad things people do,
they do it out of fear. Fear for one thing,
losing financial support,
losing political momentum,
losing friendship,
losing social network. And Allah has a solution. He says, don't be afraid. You do the right thing, and what's written for you, you will get. Nothing more, nothing less. Not a penny more, not a penny less. You will not live a day more, you will not live a day less. Just do what you have to do, and be focused on what you need to accomplish without compromising your values. That's what Allah is saying. And when you compromise your values,
وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا,
then the Quran says, the moment of passing away is not going to be easy. And if you held your values,
وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحًا فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقًا,
if you did not compromise, I'll make your life beautiful, I will make your death beautiful, I will make your resurrection beautiful.
يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةِ,
Allah is talking about a very significant moment here. He says, there will be a massive shiver that will take place. A massive quake that will take place.
What quake are we talking about?
The end of time.
Now, for those of you that are our guests, please, this is not our everyday Friday sermon where we talk about death. In fact, in my 7 years that I'm here, approximately, I think this is the first time on a Friday sermon we are going in detail about death. And in case you are wondering why, many youth have told me over the past years that what does Islam talk about death? Nobody talks about death. We have to go online and look it up. And the person that is talking about death, we don't know that person, so we cannot connect. Can you please talk about the end of time? And number two, as far as Muslims are concerned, we don't predict the end of time. You'll never hear a Muslim saying, in 2020, everything comes to an end. 2025 will be the beginning of a resurrection, etc., etc. We don't. But there are certain signs that come into existence. Amongst them, earthquakes. Amongst them, tsunamis. Amongst them, shakes in the ground. Now this has always occurred, nobody denies that. But Allah says that as these things continue, then this should make us realize that just as these little ripples have an effect on geology, on the ground formation, on the various plates that exist under the ground, just as these things create a shake-up for animals and insects in the ground, just as the fish in the ocean, they go through, they shake up with the tsunami and all these things, Allah says, this is the same thing that will eventually take place for you and I. Therefore, be alert regarding that, and also be alert that after this moment, these little shakes, there will also come a massive shake, and this massive shake will now bring the sign of we are now over, and it's us and our Allah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, before the moment comes where it gets between us and Allah, Allah is telling us very beautifully, start focusing on these moments from now. And how do we focus on these moments from now? It is very simple. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. You have to know why you were created. There is a purpose. Allah didn't just create us because, well, you live your life, get property, amass a certain amount of wealth, leave it for others, and you move on. That's not the idea of contribution in Islam. The idea of contribution in Islam is very simple. Connect with your Creator immensely and connect with humanity to the extent in which you will not sell and let go of what you are. And if you feel you cannot connect with humanity because you are going to give up your values, then there is an example of that as well. For example, Uwais Qarni. May Allah continue shall have blessing upon him. Why? Because his temperament was such, his behavior was such, his circumstance was such, it was better for him not to be with the people and be in the company of his mother and take care of his mother. So Islam is saying to us a very important message that humans, you have two obligations. Huququllah, ensure that you will fulfill your obligations towards Allah. That means Hajj, Salah, Zakah, human rights, environmental rights, ensuring safety for humanity, regardless of their race, religion, culture, background, whatever it may be. You have to ensure that. So one is fulfilling your rights towards Allah, and the second is ensuring and fulfilling your rights towards humanity. These two things is what humans are all about and what creates development and goodness for them. And anyone that violates these two aspects, or they tip the scale, they go more towards Allah to the point where they let go of human values, they don't want to feed the children, they don't want to take care of orphans, they don't want to take care of the needy,
then understand, you will never get to Allah the way you ought to be getting towards Allah. You can perform salah all your life. You can be in ibadah, in worship all your life. And from the hadith we know, you will get destroyed. Imagine the hadith saying, a person who worships Allah all his life is going to get destroyed. How can you get destroyed if you worship Allah all your life? But that's not what Allah wants from you. He wants you to worship Him, and He wants you to be good to humanity as well. That is why when the person came to the Prophet ﷺ, or they were talking amongst themselves, I'm going to read Quran entire night. I'm going to fast for my entire life. I'm going to do this for entire life. Rasulullah ﷺ got enraged. He got very, very angry. The Prophet of Allah got angry. And today if someone gets angry, what do you say? He has no patience. Prophet of Allah also got angry. Why did he get angry? He says, what are you doing with your life in essence? It's not about just worship. Two dimensions of life. Fulfill it towards Allah and do what Allah wants you to do. And also take care of those around you. Whether it's family, neighbors, the next county, the next state, or even the next nation. And Allah says, if you did this, then you will be in also in a form of worship. Imagine, in Islam, worship is not just prayer. In Islam, worship is also fulfilling and creating positive environmental change. Fulfilling human rights. Upholding human dignity. And when a person does this, then they are in a win-win situation. The hereafter gets better, and their life in this world is also fulfilled. And these two challenges, my brothers and sisters, is what makes a person a saint if he can fulfill them. And it is the failure of these two things that creates human degradation and human lowness. Therefore Allah says very beautifully in the Quran, and we'll end up with this, قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَةٌ. There will come a day in which every heart will be throbbing. It'll be throbbing because it will get a flash. You know, sometimes when you're taking an exam and you get that flash and you just say to yourself, I know the answer, but I cannot get it. And what do you say next to yourself? This is what you say thereafter. I just wish I studied 5 minutes more. That's what you say. As anyone that has been in school, they get that flash. I just wish I didn't text as much and I read a little bit more Quran and I would have known this surah. I just wish I didn't hang out with that so-and-so a little bit more and I would have been a better student and made it through my such-and-such exam. I just wish. Stop wishing. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. That's what they teach you in young school, to teach you English and make you happy in class. Life is not twinkle, twinkle, little star. I wonder where you are. Life is reality. And reality is what? Reality is, before that day comes, when that flash comes, that I wish I did more, Allah is saying, do it now. Do it now. And by doing it now, you will attain tranquility not only in this world, but also in the hereafter. And Allah mentions one more thing. There will come that day where you will not be able to even look at your Creator. Imagine, everyone says they would love to look at the Creator. But why on that day we won't be able to look at our Creator? Because that flash that will come, that light bulb that goes off, it'll say to us, I just wish I was a little bit more nicer to my mother and father. I just wish I got up in the morning. I just wish I prayed. Why did I go back to bed? I had that extra dollar to give to the poor person. Why did I not give that extra dollar to the poor individual? I wish I voted for this candidate instead of that candidate. Islam is not against voting. But you got to vote right. And you got to vote in a way that creates, facilitates, and shares human quality. You know, people always ask me, which party do you follow? Republican or Democrat? I don't follow a party. I follow a person and a group that is giving us consciousness and a proper direction in helping us connect to two things. To our Creator, that means giving us the ability and the know-how or the feel where we feel safe when we pray. Not Muslims are going to be this because they are Muslims. And the second thing they have to allow us to do is uplift human quality and human value, not just for Muslims, but for others as well. The last time I checked, Hispanics were human too. The last time I checked, many minorities were part of America and part of the structure of creating benefit. It's amazing. We don't like Mexicans when it comes to certain political statements we make, but when they pick the strawberries, we say how juicy and nice it is. Amazing, isn't it? You eat that strawberry without a conscience, but yet you pick on the man or the woman that allowed you to get that strawberry on the table. So that's what Allah is talking about here as well. That don't let go of your conscience. Be firm on what you stand for, because a day will come when you'll be held accountable for the various things that we have done. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it be such that He allows us to focus on these various ayah, and I'll conclude with this. The ayah that talks about life, the ayah that talks about death, the ayah that refers to ensuring that we'll become the best of the best, so that way we can attain not only goodness in this world, but also benefit inshallah in the hereafter. Inshallah, in the coming weeks, we will continue talking about one nazi'at for one purpose, my brothers. To not only create consciousness within ourselves, but Ramadan is around the corner. And it's about time that we continue softening our hearts so the month of Ramadan can give us, inshallah, the best outcome, the outcome that is intended. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ We will create and we will be attaining God-fearing, God-consciousness, and consciousness that will take us and give us benefit, inshallah, in both the worlds. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا
Just a couple of quick announcements.